The message this morning is entitled Golden God. And you probably think I'm not very humble to put my name in the title of that message. With a name like Golden, you get a lot of interesting comments like, silence is golden, or maybe golden should be silent. Or when I was younger, I was picked on by my classmate and called, which I hate it, Goldilocks. Some of us in our family were nicknamed Goldie. Anyway, as we think about the title, in a moment I'm going to tell you to take a pen and cross the name Golden out and put your name there. Because as I prepared this message, I couldn't help but think of me first as I relate to my attitude. And then talk about material things, money, gold. And then we want to end up, of course, talking about God. Anyway, the title is sort of cute, I thought, Golden God. Sometimes people think, well, you're not going to talk about money, are you, on a day like today? Well, it's interesting. People tell us that there are 500 or more verses on prayer, and that there are 500 or more verses on faith. And we hear a lot of messages on prayer and faith. But someone said there's probably 1,000 or maybe even 2,000 verses on the area of gold or money or finances and lessons that the Lord teaches. In fact, someone said maybe up to something like 15% of all the illustrations and applications that the Lord made while he was here on earth had some reference to do with money. So I'd like to have you turn this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In a moment, I'll ask you to stand, and I want to read a few verses as it relates to this theme of gold and God and us and you and me. And so take your scriptures and stand, if you would, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading at verse 6 down through 10, and then I'm going to jump down and read verses 17, 18, and 19. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, and let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Dear Lord, as we stand and as we read your scripture, and now as we pray, help us to apply the word to our lives and to receive it as it talks about this area of money. And we pray that you would help us as I preach, that you would be glorified, the word of God would be declared accurately. We pray that the Holy Spirit would work in each of our lives, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you notice in your outline, there are 9 lessons that I would like to have us all learn, 9 lessons that I need to learn, 9 lessons that every born-again Christian need to learn as it relates to golden God. And if you look down at the end of your notes there, I ask at the end of the message, and I'll tell you in preparation for doing that, I like to have each of us to select one lesson as we go through it and say, you know, as we begin the year 2015, this is one lesson by the grace of God I'm going to work on in my life as it relates to, you know, gold and God as we think about a new year. So as we develop the message, perhaps there's one area that the Spirit will prompt you to say, hey, this is it. Not all 9, just one area. And perhaps at the end we can sort of draw the net, and maybe each of us could, in our own hearts, decide which area that might be. All right, the first point we want to make is the name Golden, and I'll get that off the list real quick. And I want to talk about my attitude, or our attitude. So with your pen, quickly cross the name Golden off and write your name there, because I want to talk about your attitude as it relates to the things of God, as it relates to money and gold that we have to deal with. The first lesson that I want to look at under the attitude is found there in verse 6 and 8. And it's the word to be content. God wants us to be content with the things that he has. Contentment is something that is learned. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul said, I have learned whatever state there would to be content. It's not natural to be content in the old nature. It's something that we have to work on. We have to develop. We read the Word of God and we learn that, hey, God wants me to be content with the things that he has given us. And the word content means self-sufficient. So God has blessed you with whatever, a home and a car and clothes. And God said, I want you to be content. I want you to be self-satisfied with the things that I've given you. And so whatever they are, can we say, I'm self-satisfied. I can live on that. I can accept that. I'm going to accept that as the will of God. Because contentment is satisfied with the things that God has given us. And when you think about the basic needs, he says there in verse 8, basics of all basic. Look, if you have something to eat and you have clothing, which is a word that would probably include some kind of shelter. If you have clothing and a place to live and food to eat, if you got those things, you should be able to say, hey, I'm content. I'm satisfied. My needs are met. What we need to do as we think about lesson number one is to divide the wants from our needs. Basic needs he gives us, then we ought to be content. The things that we want, he might not give us that we can live without. There's a passage over in the book of Luke. It talks about soldiers, admonishing soldiers to not intimidate anyone or to accuse anybody falsely. And apparently, their wages were not that great at that time. And he instructs them to be content with your wages. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, or it says in many other instructions, be content with such things as you have. Lesson number one, as we end one year and begin another year, as relates to our money and the material things we have, our attitude should be, I'm content. I'm self-satisfied. I appreciate what God has done, and I'll live within my means. Be content. And so attitude number one is to be content, or lesson number one is to be content. Attitude number two is verses 9 and 10, and he goes into great detail here. Not only do we need to be content, but the flip side of that is don't covet. Covet means loving silver, loving money. I want more. I'm not content with what I have. I want more. If you have that attitude, you're going to find yourself falling into some traps and temptation, and it's sort of a downward spiral because we want to covet. When I was in seminary, we had to do some word studies, and there was a Greek word that interests me a lot, and I basically was assigned to do it, and therefore it stuck in my mind, but it's the Greek word boulome, and it's the word there in verse 9 where it says, but those who desire or will or boulome in the Greek, those who in their will and in their mind, I'm going to be rich. Sometimes we grew up in a poor family and mom and dad didn't have a lot. And sometimes young people said, when I grow up, I'm going to make more money than my dad ever make. And I'm not going to be poor. And that's my ambition. And that's my goal in life. Well, that's coveting. Don't do that. That's desiring. That's boulome. That's willing. That's making a decision that in my life, one goal in my life, I'm going to make lots of money. Well, the Bible says don't do that. Because those who desire to be rich, those who desire will continually, the Greek has the idea, continually fall into all kinds of temptations and snares and traps, and it's a downward spiral. If that's your goal in life, to be rich, don't covet. Don't desire something that is not yours or God has not given to you. In fact, as we think about the Ten Commandments, the tenth commandment is don't covet your neighbor's house or his wife or his donkey or anything that your neighbor might have. God knows how dangerous coveting is. Someone said prosperity is more dangerous than adversity. Prosperity is more dangerous than adversity. Don't covet. Coveting is a result of discontentment. If you're not content, then it's easy to want to covet having things that really are not yours and God doesn't want to give them to you. Learn to be content with what God has given you and don't covet things that God has not given you. So lesson number two is don't covet. Lesson number three is found there in verse 7 in our text, where it makes the obvious statement that we all said, yeah, I knew that. We brought nothing into the world, and we're going to carry nothing out. It was Job who said, you know, naked I came into the world, and naked I'm going to return. The lesson is this. Understand closure. There's a time to be born. Now, though we don't like to talk about it maybe too much, but there's a time to die. Everything comes to a close. And if we understand closure, that life, the years that we have and the material wealth that we gain, it's all going to be, you know, left here behind. We aren't going to take it with us. I'm sure we've all heard of you haven't seen a U-Haul truck behind a hearse. You know, life is like a game of Monopoly. You win it and you got all this money and you're the winner. But, you know, at the end of the game, it all goes back in the box. And I think it's good in lesson in life, as we think about life and serving and living for God, that our attitude should be, you know, money is just for a period of time. And it's all going to be left behind. Understand closure. I had a relative who had a good job. Built a house, lived in it all his life. Had one sport coat ripped out under the arm. Wouldn't spend money too freely. And he died. You know how much he left behind? All of it. But he left a lot of money behind. And we found out that his kids spent it, you know. We are going to leave everything behind. And we need to understand closure. Two things the writer of Proverbs says, I request of you, praying to God, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You know, God gives us money to live on. We come in with zero. At this point in your life, probably none of us will want to publicly say, I'm worth this much. Add your house and your clothing and your bonds and your bank account and your savings and your car and all your little collections and you know, add it all together. Just say it adds up to $500,000, you know. Well, before you die, it's going to be left behind. You're not going to take anything with you. And as it relates to my attitude toward my money, it's good to be content, don't covet, and understand closure. Now, we need to have that as an attitude as a believer in Christ toward our gold. The second point I want to look at is gold itself. And here I want to deal with my action. How do I act? How do I live? What is my response toward gold, toward money, toward material things? If I were to ask how many of you are really, really rich, probably no one to raise their hand. All right, how many of you feel you are rich. I'm not talking about spiritual riches that we have in Christ, but, you know, worldly riches, material and money and that. Probably no one else would raise your hand. Pastor Lilla would raise your hand. Probably all of us, a majority of us, would raise our hand. Hey, I'm rich. I have a certain amount of money. I have lots of money compared to other people in our country and certainly compared to other people in the world. If one wealth is gained honestly and with hard work, we need to understand that it is a blessing of God. Having money is not evil. He goes on to say in verse 17, now look at, if your goal and your desire is to be rich and to make lots of money, that's wrong. And you're going to end up with a lot of heartaches. But if God has blessed you because of your honesty and your good works and your hard works and maybe just because he wants to bless you. Not, he doesn't give money to everybody, but if God has blessed you, we ought to be thankful. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It's interesting, Abraham and men like Isaac, it says in the scripture, they were blessed by God with great riches. They had lots of animals and they were rich. God blessed them. It's not wrong to be rich. It's not wrong to have money. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 29 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And so if you say, I'm rich, God has given me more than I need, more than my basic need of food and clothing and housing, then we are rich. And so he gives some instructions concerning our action as it relates to our money in verses 17, 18, and 19. And let me share three of them with you. It says in verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to be proud, not to be arrogant. We don't brag about, oh boy, look how much money I have. And then we begin trusting in that because it could leave us real quick. But trust in the living God who gives us richly all things, and the last two words is what I want to emphasize, to enjoy it. Enjoy it. Sometimes we feel guilty. Well, I got too much money. You know, enjoy it. Use it in other ways that we're going to look at in a moment or two. But it's not wrong to spend it on yourself in this lifetime. Because remember, don't forget closure. You're not going to live forever on this earth. That money is not going to be here. So enjoy it. God has blessed you. Enjoy it. Don't feel guilty and upset about it. Don't look down on others who don't have it. Don't talk about it all the time. Just enjoy the riches that God has given you. Because the Lord, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 7 says, the Lord makes poor and make rich. I often remind our seniors when we have trips. Here we have just some day trips. But sometimes the trips are bigger trips involving a lot of money. And I can see the seniors sort of reluctant to spend all that money to go on a cruise or go to Pigeon Forge. I just can't do that. Well, enjoy it. You know, if you don't go on a cruise, the kids will get it and they'll go on a cruise instead of you. You worked hard for it. God has blessed you. There's nothing wrong in spending it on yourself. Enjoy it. We need to learn that lesson. And sometimes it's hard, especially the older folks, to be able to feel, you know, comfortable in taking some of that money they've saved and worked hard to enjoy some of the vacation and relaxation that could be theirs. So enjoy it. Lesson number four was to enjoy it. Lesson number six, verse 18, those who are rich now, if you got money, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share it. So lesson number five is share it. In addition to your tithe and your offerings, learn to take some of the money that God has blessed you with, more than you need, more than the basic needs of life, you are at that point where you got some extra money. Share it. It could be, I remember as a state rep traveling almost every Sunday to a different church. And we were in this one church. A man came up to me before the service, in between Sunday school and the morning service. And he knew I was a special speaker that morning. Shook my hand and he put some money in my hand. And as I left him, I looked at it, going to put it in my pocket. And I, wow, this is a $50 bill. You know, and I told the pastor, that, who is that guy? He just gave me $50. I'm not, maybe it should be, I don't know. Oh, he said he does that all the time. He's always giving money to other people to share. He's apparently had at least $50 more than he needed. And he shared it with me as a guest speaker. He does that with other people. You know, that's fun to do, to share your riches with others. It could be their birthday or anniversary or just putting a $50 bill in somebody's hand or giving it an envelope and sharing it with others. Many of you shared some extra giving at Christmas time to the staff here. And some people have given me money to give to someone else who in the church to encourage them. And so learn to share it. God has given it to you. Enjoy it. And one of the ways to enjoy it is give those extra gifts to share it. We have coming up, we've had opportunities to give and to share and serve the Lord in various ways. Lesson number 6, going down to verse 9, it says, storing up for themselves. Now, this is all about those who have money. We had instruction about being content with what you have and don't covet and understand closure. This is my action now as it relates to my money. Don't hoard it. Don't be a miser. Enjoy it. Share it. And then this verse reminds us to invest it. Storing up for themselves, the rich people, those who have money. Many of you would raise your hand and saying, I do. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. The sixth lesson that we want to learn is to invest it. Invest it, not in banks we aren't talking about, but invest it in the work of God, in spiritual ministries. You say, well, how can we do that? Well, in Matthew, it says there was an instruction to this man that had some money. It says, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. We have coming up a couple of opportunities as a church. One has already been announced, called the Legacy Fund. In addition to our offering and our announcement, the opportunity to invest in the lives of some of the young people in our church and in our community, in their Christian education. This year, I believe there will be an unveiling or a promotion of what we call a capital campaign fund. In addition to giving our tithe and our offering, the opportunity to share or invest in spiritual ministry. So as we invest in the work of the Lord and we give our money and we invest it not in bank account, nothing wrong with bank accounts and stocks and bonds, but to invest some of our riches in spirit, in eternal things. And you are laying up in store. You are investing your money in spiritual things that will reap a heavenly dividend. So the Lord wants us to invest in spiritual things. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 22 reads this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Last year about this time, there were hackers that got into Target, you know, computers and got all our credit cards. And I understand they can get those credit cards and through some other process get into our bank accounts. And you could be wiped out in one afternoon and not even realize it. So don't trust in that kind of finances, but invest in spiritual things. So he said, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever you put your money, there's your heart. Sometimes wherever your heart is, there's your money. So invest it. I'm talking about spiritual and lay up, you know, in heaven. Store it up there by taking the money you have and making good spiritual investment. So never be discouraged, or don't be a miser relates to, I got some extra money. Invest it in spiritual ministry through the local church and the ministries that you are acquainted with. Jim Elliot said this, and I like what he says. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You've heard that before, but it's worth repeating. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Therefore, as we think about my action under my gold, enjoy it, you know, share it, and invest it. Act in that way as it relates to the gold and the money that God has given to you. Point number three relates to God. God, I've used the word my aspiration. My aspiration. The definition of aspiration is this. Let me share it with you. Aspiration is a strong desire to achieve high, something high or great. I aspire to be an Olympian. Well, that's good. Or the word could mean to have a strong desire of the object of such desire. And so my aspiration is God. I aspire to love God and to give Him all my attention and love. And so as we think about this message, golden, your name, my attitude toward gold, my action toward it, the next three lessons has to do with God and making Him the object of my aspiration. First of all, in verse 17, trust Him. Trust God. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God. Riches are uncertain. If you've ever done any kind of financial investment, you know how easy the stock market can go down, and depression and recession, and you know how quickly different things can happen. Trust not in your money. Or even if you don't have money, say, boy, if I had money, I could trust in that. Trust in God. If you are the poorest of the poorest, don't worry about, just trust God. He'll provide for you. And if we have lots of money, don't trust the money. Realize how quickly that can go. You trust God. Trust God, whether you have money or don't have money. Listen to a couple of verses from the Psalms. The psalmist cries out, oh, be merciful to me, God. Oh, be merciful to me, for my trust is in you. You know, we would all get a little upset if we begin hearing on television or reading in the newspaper that there's a campaign to take the phrase, in God we trust, off our coins and currency. We would react negatively. Oh, we don't want that. We trust in God. Well, let's practice trusting in God. Let's put our trust in God. Verse, perhaps the middle verse of the Bible says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man or chariots. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God and trust Him. Some of you have this as your favorite verse of life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust Him. The eighth lesson is also found in verse 17, where it says, command those who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things. Everything we have, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. Therefore, every gift we have, our lesson should be we ought to thank Him who gave us all things. People giving you a lot of gifts this last week. And I'm sure you thanked him over and over. You'll probably write some notes. Thank you, thank you. We said thank you on behalf of our staff for your generosity toward the staff here at the church. We need to thank him as well as thanking people. My God shall supply all our needs, and when he does, we ought to thank him. I took a little time this last week, prior to Christmas, to write my list of things that I am thankful for. Remember, the title is Golden, Gold, and God. But you come up with your own list. Cross off golden. What are you thankful for? Let me give you my list alphabetically, A, B, C, as the things that I'm thankful for. And you say, well, that's my list too. I'm thankful as well. And I sort of personalize it as I thought about the things that I'm really thankful for. I'm thankful for my automobile, my bed, the clothes that I wear, the dishes that we eat off of, my eyesight, the food that I enjoy daily, gas being under $2 now, the house that God allows us to live in, the internet, Jiffy peanut butter. I love peanut butter. I love my knees. After I hear about people having knee replacement and having all kinds of problem with their knees, I'm thankful for my healthy knees. Lights, not only Christmas lights, but lights that come on in the morning at night so we can see. Money that God has given us, my neighbors, oranges. I do love oranges. Paper, newspaper, as well as paper that my notes are on. I praise the Lord for, I thank him for quietness. It's good sometimes just to get away and enjoy the quietness. Surely my redemption, the seasons. I'm not talking about salt and pepper and paprika, but the four seasons that we enjoy here in Ohio. Television. I know the next one you probably didn't think about being thankful, but underwear is something we ought to thank the Lord for. Vitamins. My wife. I had some other W, but I thought I better get good turns on my wife. You have to think on this one, but X-Lax, it's good to. And I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for zoos, because we're going to go to one with the seniors and all the enjoyment that we get out of that. So as we think about God, our aspiration is to trust him and just to thank him for everything. And then my third comment is found in verses 15 and 16. We didn't read it. It's sort of like a parenthetical situation in between the topic of money. But in verses 15 and 16, well, in verse 14, you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. We don't know when he's going to come back again, which he will manifest in his own time. It's up to him when that's going to happen. But in the meantime, he who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an approachable light, who no man have seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. We're going to end up at the very conclusion of our service with a special song that I'll let Pastor Parker announce. But it is to, the ninth point is this, to treasure him. Isn't it wonderful just to think about the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the potentate and the God of our salvation, and just to aspire, just to think of money? Yes, we need it. We enjoy it. We can share it. We can invest it. But above money is God. That's my total aspiration, is just to thank God, to love God, and to treasure God, and to trust God. Treasure him. Here's a few verses in the scripture that reminds us about God's law and the God who wrote the law. It says in Proverbs, or in Psalm 119, for example, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Do you love the word of God? Do you love the God of the word more than all the money? You say, I'd rather have Jesus more than anything than silver and gold. Well, that's treasuring him, putting him first and loving him more than anything else. Another verse in that same chapter says, therefore, I love your commandments, or I could say I love God more than gold. Yes, than fine gold. I talked about golden, my name, you took my name off and put your name. What's my attitude? Am I content? Do I not covet? And do I totally understand closure? Those are three lessons we all need to learn. That's attitude. We need to have that attitude. And then, of course, in our action that God has given us the money, remember, you know, to enjoy it. Remember to share it. But remember also to enjoy investing it. And then as we think about God, you know, trust Him, thank Him, and treasure Him. As we close in just a moment, I said at the beginning, what one lesson would you say this morning I want to work on? It might just mean I want to treasure God more. I want to value Him more. I want to put Him first in all my life. Or maybe you have trouble with being content. I don't know. You're never satisfied with what God has given to you, even though He gave you basic needs. Whatever one of those nine lessons, I would suggest with a pen, just circle it or check it. And just to be a reminder, as we start the new year, or even as we end this day and end this year, that's one lesson I'm going to work on by the grace. You don't tell anybody. There's going to be an invitation in a moment or two. If you'd rather have Jesus because you never had Him as your Savior, you never asked Christ to save you. I was a 9-year-old boy in a farmhouse, accepted Christ as my Savior. I mean, I'd give up anything, but I won't give up Jesus. Can't give Him up anyway, even if I try. But I'd rather have Jesus than any other thing I might possess. And you might need to be saved. And as we sing one verse of the closing song, perhaps you would come and say, hey, show me how to get saved. Or maybe if you want to publicly say, hey, there's one area of my life, Pastor, I just want you to know I'm going to make it right. You don't need to do that, but we will give an invitation and allow you to respond as the Lord would have you. Let's pray. Lord, as we close our service, I pray that as we conclude that You would take the wonderful message that Dustin sang. Thank You for Him willing to sing that song, reminding us, Lord, that all of us, we should rather have Jesus than I don't know how much gold there might be that we could possess in a lifetime. We'd give that all up. But thank You, Lord, that we don't have to pay to get salvation. It's a gift. It's free. Doesn't cost us one coin. We can come to Christ. Pray that if there's someone in the auditorium this morning, visiting maybe they come regularly, and they've never accepted Christ as their Savior, that they would realize that salvation is a gift. And now as Christians, Lord, all that You have given to us, clothing and food and raiment, are also gifts. But Lord, we want to love You more than all of these. So as we close our service, we pray You'd work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.